Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Grate podcast. I'm going to hand straight over to Trucker Squeaky to start this episode off. So away you go, Squeaky.
Hello, everybody. How are we? You all right, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Very good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm packed up. It's extremely hot. I am absolutely sweating my
bits
off. Yeah, that was close. But yeah, it's ridiculously hot. I've got the windows up so that I'm not obviously noisy and the people at the side of me can't hear what's going on. But yeah, I am cooking tonight, mate. Absolutely cooking.
A bit George Michael, a bit Wham.
Yeah, a bit Wham. I'm going to start this podcast off just with a quick shout out with a company called Fresh Wipes. I've done a little bit of work with them before over on my own personal TikTok page. And basically, Fresh Wipes have designed and come up with a body wipe that is antibacterial, biodegradable, full size. It's huge, these things. They're like a flannel. They're really, really good. I'm a real big advocate for them. Anyway, they've sent us, as a podcast, a starter pack box, which is like a gift hamper full of all these different types of wipes and cleaning products that are designed to use for when you don't have access to a shower, which are absolutely fantastic for lorry drivers. So this is something that we're going to create some form of giveaway and give this away to one of the listeners. So just keep your eyes peeled on all of the social medias at Matt's Truck and Grate Podcast on TikTok, Facebook. And at some point, something will crop up and we'll come up with some sort of game or something. But I just wanted to give those guys a little bit of a shout out. So thank you to Fresh Wipes UK for sending us that little party piece. Today's episode, we've actually got a special guest with us today. He's a good friend of mine. He's a good friend of Jim's. He's also a good friend of Matt's. A bit of a wild card, shall we say. So listeners' discretion is advised because there may well be a little bit of foul language here or there, but it's all in good jest. Anyway, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Mr. Daryl Blackburn. How are we, mate?
Ale. How are we doing?
Ale.
Foul mouth? How dare you?
How dare you?
How are we? You okay?
Yeah, I'm very good. Just going back to your little plug there with the wipes.
The fresh wipes, yeah.
Yeah, is that like Femme Fresh for men?
It's quite similar, actually. Anyway, we're going to do a little bit of a quick fire round. So I've just got four questions just so that the listeners can get to know you a little bit. And then as obviously the listeners have probably already heard now that Jim's in the background, Matt's in the background, and then we're going to bring them in and then we'll just have a bit of a chin wagon, a bit of a chat and put the world to rights.
Crack on.
All right. Question number one. What part of the world are you from?
Yorkshire.
Yorkshire, that's it. Yeah. Is there anywhere else in the world other than Yorkshire?
Yes. Yeah,
not that's any good, no. It's in Yorkshire.
So what do you do for a living, Daz?
Crane operator, mainly. Now.
Mobile crane operator.
Mobile crane operator, yeah.
Mobile crane operator. And how long have you been doing that?
For 15 years now.
Quite a long time. Before that, what was you doing? What was you doing just before?
Lorry driving, haulage, done everything. Well, I'd say done everything. Tried behind everything. I've done tippers, curtain siders, containers for 4 days. That was enough. Then I went into the haulage. Every haulage got me into cranes. Here I am.
And that's brought you to where you are today?
Yeah.
And we all know it pays well as well. So you're doing it. I assume have you your family? You've got kids, family?
Kids growing up, yeah. So my boy is an electrician at the company where I used to work with the tower cranes. And yeah, my daughter, she has her own business.
Good stuff. I could see Jim's like, is it the stable gate? Is
no,
itching to be
honest? I'm really not. But he's a granddad as well, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do the official introduction. How are we, Jim?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Are you got the weather as well? Are you hot?
No, I'm all right, mate. Yeah, what did we do? We swapped temperatures earlier. You're 3 degrees higher than me, which is warm. But yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all good. Yeah, well, I've got a bit of a rubbish job to do in the morning, but we're all right, mate. Yeah, it's been a good week. Been a very, very good week. Good week on. It's a good week on the app, by the way. The other app that we never talk about.
What app? What's this?
The CB Talk app by Midlands. You can download it on Play Store or the other one, wherever it is.
Oh, all right.
iTunes. Yeah, just got to do
Thapple.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the one that I use. Yeah, I'm off to London in the morning, but get there nice and early, get it off, and then hopefully the weekend will start. Yeah, so it's all good.
Lovely job.
Yeah,
lovely job.
All good, mate.
What about you, Matt? You all right?
Yes, mate. Yeah, I've got the doors open to try and keep it cool in here.
You're back in the UK now, I assume.
I'm back in the UK, mate. Yeah, sat at home. Although off next week. Well, by the time this podcast goes out, would have been and gone to Greece, I expect. So, just another week in the UK, and then off we go again.
Proper globetrotter.
Well, not most of the time anymore.
Yeah, lovely job. Lovely job.
Yeah. Compared with how it used to be.
I must say, back globetrotter, I like that that 16 you're taking, by the way, to Kelsall.
Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, she's a beauty, mate. Yeah, yeah. Not jealous one bit.
Yeah, I'm really nice.
No.
I didn't think you would be. Well, it's not an F10, is it, Jim?
Well, I could trade up to a 16 any time of the week, bruv. Don't worry about it.
Till you got paid a fuel bill.
Exactly, yeah.
What are you on with this week then, Daz? Where you been? What you been doing?
Spent the first half of the week down in Taunton. Today I've been in Immingham. You're actually from there, aren't you? Got web feet and everything.
I lived there. I'm not from there. I'm from Doncaster originally.
No way.
Is that better or worse?
I won't admit to it.
At least it's Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Do you deliver pizzas or in Immingham? To a special place, if I remember rightly, Squeak.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did. That red light in window.
were you the very first deliveroo in the UK?
I didn't see the red light in the window because I was too busy going through the door. I may as well tell the story briefly, but where the pizza place was, this is how my pizza delivering as a teenager became a thing. I was in there collecting a pizza for myself, and there was the guys that worked in there, the Turkish guys, about 5-6 doors down, there was a massage parlour, shall we say.
It wasn't a massage parlour, Squeaky. Stop.
It wasn't.
We know what it was.
It was
a bag.
It said massage parlour on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was literally on the entrance to the docks.
Your Honour.
It was. Your Honour. And the guys inside there, they were all arguing about who's going to take what these girls had ordered, who's going to walk it down. And none of them wanted to go. None of them wanted to go and take these pizzas to these working girls in this massage parlour. So I'm in there and he's... How do you fancy a free pizza? I was already out the door with the girls' pizzas in my hand. I am gone. You know what I mean? I'll take them. it was an experience. And do you know what? Actually, when I went in, these places you expect to be like really dirty and seedy and grotty. And it wasn't. They had like these big plush leather sofas and like a bar and everything in there. It was amazing. And there's like four or five of these women essentially walking around in just underwear, and they're all excited because the pizza's in, they're all hungry. They got some money out and paid me for the pizzas, and off I went.
Can I talk about when Dazzle, you work for that fight? Sorry to change the subject completely because otherwise we go down another rabbit hole, but I'm going to be quite serious. You got serious, Jim, for a few minutes. You used to work at where I first knew you used to work for a company called Wolfcran, didn't you? Which are on the M1 at Sheffield and stuff like that. You literally see, you know, they've done the Christmas lights and stuff like that. Yeah. So you was a driver of that. What? How many ton crane was it?
I had a 300-ton Grove.
300-ton Grove crane. And obviously I know you personally, you sent me pictures. Some of the places that you had to put this crane in were just absolutely... I mean, I'd struggle in answering, you closed off streets in London.
We did a lot of road closures, but don't forget, these machines have got all-wheel steering, and they're pretty versatile. I mean, yeah, they don't bend like a truck, but yeah, we do challenges. Sometimes you've got to put the jib right up in the air to get round corners, round trees, but it's just part of the job that we do.
Right. You know, driving one of these great big things as well in London traffic, I remember being on the phone to you going through Piccadilly, and I think a policeman stopped you at the time, didn't he, or something?
I was coming down Whitehall, and it was probably about this time here. It was a trooper in the course, and it was changing. There was closing the road. I just didn't quite make it. And if anybody's been down it, it looks like quite a wide road when you're driving down it. And so you put a 300-ton crane, I had to do like a 16-point turn with everybody watching me.
It's left-hand drive as well.
Yeah, it's left-hand drive. Yeah.
Was it like the Austin Powers scene where he's trying to turn around his little buggy?
That's what it felt like. But of course, everybody's filming you because stuff only goes wrong on YouTube, isn't it, when somebody's filming it? You know what I mean? The plates are really good. I mean, technically, some people will know about embargo. Like, at the time of the day it was, I shouldn't have even been moving, but the plates are pretty good. And it's like, go away, we don't want to see you.
My next question. I was going to ask you about that, actually. Like, with obviously, like, with movement orders and embargo laws, so that applies to cranes as well then, does it?
Oh, God, yeah. So London is, it keeps changing, but I haven't been for a little while because I don't go down there now, but it used to be, you couldn't move in London between, I think it was 6 or 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning till I think it was 6 or 7 o'clock on an evening. So through the day, there was supposed to be no abnormal load movements at all. I think it's changed a little bit now. I'm not quite sure because I don't do that now. I'm 2 years out of it. So it was, everybody pushes a look. It just depends where you are and what you're doing, what your attitude is with the police as to how you're treated.
Whether you get away with it or not.
Yeah, because basically what the police say is they don't want like an invasion at 7 o'clock at night of cranes and wagons have been to pick crawler cranes up and wide cabins coming out. They just don't want it at 7 o'clock at night. And for people who drive in London, especially in the summer, you'll know that the roads are no quieter at 7 o'clock at night than they are at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just a manic place. So, yeah, like I say, it depends who you were, how you was with them, and you know, your attitude.
Yeah. Are the cranes like Stigo cats as well then, or is it just?
Yeah, any cat three. You're running on the cranes I'm running. You was running 6 and a half to the axle. So you
plated up with Stigo. Yeah.
Go on, Squeak. Sorry, mate.
No, go on. You're all right.
I was going to say, what I mean, they're automatic as well, aren't they, mate? What sort of engine do they have in them?
So they have the crane I had. It was an MTB, which is a Mercedes industrial, like the Volvo Penta and that kind of stuff. So there was, I think the one I had was around about 600 horsepower. The first Grove I had was a V8. That was a monster of a crane. The later ones, because of the emissions, was six. There was around about 600 horsepower. But to be fair, the crane weighed 99 and a half ton. He was half a ton under the needing an escort vehicle at all times with you for the weight. So it was bang on the length and the axle. So you could go up to six axles. Six axles under 100 ton, you could travel without an escort vehicle.
And some of the routes that you used to tell me as well.
Oh, mate, yeah, London.
To go to somewhere, you'd have to go literally south to come north.
Yeah, we used to park in West London a lot, round the Hayes, Uxbridge area, but to go into South London, we would have to go all the way around the southern M25 and come back in on the A2. So we could take 3 hours to do, in a straight line, what would take maybe 12 miles.
Would you be allowed over any of the London bridges?
That's changed. So years ago, you used to be allowed over the Blackfriars Bridge, that stopped. You used to be allowed over the Kew Bridge. I'm not sure if you're allowed over them now. Towards the end of my time doing it, we never got routed over any bridges. We had to go all the way around the M25.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to tell me, and you'd leave at a certain time, and it'd take.
Yeah, so yeah, if you was in the centre of London, we could finish on a Sunday at say 11 o'clock in the morning. I would have to sit there till 8 o'clock at night before I could move. Yeah, and I travelled 2 hours in the wrong direction out of London, say out on the A2, and then come all the way back around the M25. Underneath to the M1 back up at Sheffield. So yeah, it was some long hours, crazy hours. You know what we used to be.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're quite often 90 hours a week now, to be honest. So you know, I've been
not part time, 90 hours, I mean, a week. Yeah.
I mean, we got another friend that drives cranes as well, Crane Mick. who we need to get on as well.
Top bloke. What a bloke.
Oh, what a gamer. Mick. I mean, yeah, absolutely fantastic.
And to be fair, to Mick, and I'll give Mick a shout out here. So, my time on cranes, are kind of a little bit like lorries. You're either a Volvo man or a Scania man. You're a Lieber man, a Grove man, whatever. Mick's a big Lieber man. I've been Grove all my life. And when he goes on a Grove, he rings me up, Daz, I'm stuck. What do we do? How do I do this? And likewise, when I go to Lieber, I'm like, Mick, what the hell's up with this? You know what I mean? It's just like, So yeah, we kind of call each other quite a lot for, you know, it's good. You know, it's just, the crane game is a lot like the trucks, apart from there's less of us. You know, there's a group of us, and, you know, we all speak together and sort of.
Yeah, and how you met, obviously, through the CB app as well. Mick was going for his supervisor course, and you helped him through that as well.
Yeah, Mick, I hope you don't mind saying, but like Mick, kind of when he first started, was getting a little bit fed up with it and kind of was on the cusp of giving up with it. And I said, well, Mick, don't, you know, once you get your head around it, you'll enjoy it. And like, look at him now. I mean, he's pretty good on the old social media, and he's got a lot of followers.
Yeah, he's got a lot of followers. Yeah. Crane Mick on TikTok.
Very knowledgeable man. He's really good at explaining stuff and editing
his
videos.
His TikTok was to just beat his daughter, I think, about how many followers.
Yeah,
like that, wasn't it? Yeah. He is well up there. He's a respected man. We met his boss, didn't we, at Truckfest?
Yeah, yeah.
That time, and his thing is praises. He's a lovely.
He works for a good company as well. Gentle giant. Everything they've got, you know, they do, kit and everything.
Yeah, proper square away. Yeah.
We just give Crane Mick's daughter a shout out as well, actually, whilst we're here. Her name escapes me and I apologize, but she did contact me through TikTok when we first started recording the podcast. And she said that, oh, my dad's a really big fan of the podcast. He really likes everything that you do. You should get him on, blah, blah, blah. And she didn't know at that point that I actually knew her dad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I messaged back and said, I know your dad and everything else. So big shout out to Crane Mick and his family.
Yeah.
Lovely bloke.
Yeah. Lovely bloke. Gentle giant and made effort to have a little eyeball, as we do.
He's a funny man as well, isn't he? He's a funny man.
Very dry.
Great guy.
So we're just going to whip it back a little bit because obviously we've spoke about briefly, there's so much to go on about your mobile crane days.
Mm-hmm.
But let's rewind and go back to your driving day. So what age was you when you first started driving, even unofficially? Like many of us start young age, don't we, with our dads?
Yeah, so actually, oddly enough, my dad wasn't a truck driver, but my uncle was, so I kind of got through him. But I was 14 when I drove my first truck, and I can still remember, I was a 400 series Sedan Atkinson. I used to load concrete pipes in ARC Pollington. They had a few sites around the country. They've got Mells and Catterick, and there's a Bridgewater, I think, was another one. Yeah, but that was pretty much 14-year-old. They used to bring trailers down. I'd load them, drop them on the lane. I loved it.
Was this for your uncle, was it?
No. He was a company he worked for. But, that's what got me started. I mean, the truck was just an old shunter. It was nasty.
Right.
But I loved it. It was just got an odd gearbox in it and all. All the gears were backwards on it.
Mm. Yeah.
You had to double declutch it, and it got it was a twin speed diff as well. I remember that. I remember the fitter telling me that. Like in winter, they used to have to put it inside because it wouldn't start if it was outside. Yeah. The smoke. You don't smell when you remember that? When it used to make your eyes water, you get the back of your throat, you know, the white smoke.
I think on that, that's why I love Gaydon so much. It brings so much value.
Yeah.
Yeah. We walk around, there's a couple of 400s and 401s when we walk around Gaydon.
So there's a lot of 401s, but you don't see many 400s. I mean, there were rock boxes, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's not many 400s about.
So we'll have to see your mate from Owens again, won't we?
Dungan. Oh, man, yeah, what a man.
What a man.
Is that what gave you your love and your passion for trucks, do you think, Leno?
A little bit. I kind of grew up working on farms, so I was driving tractors at sort of 11 and 12, then on trucks. So it was kind of a natural progression. And then I did it sort of the old-fashioned way around. I passed my car test, I drove a transit van. At 18, you could go straight on 7.5 tonners then on a car license, which I did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then here's the thing. I think the laws changed somebody might correct me, was it around about 95, 98, where you had to do, you could still, you had to go for the class two and then the class one.
Then, yeah.
But they changed the motorbike laws at the same time. So at the time, I was quite happy doing what I was doing, driving 2.5 tonnes. So I went for my bike license. There was later on, so I didn't actually have the class one till 98. So it must have been 95 when they changed it. Sure. And then, I've done, like I say, I've had a go at most.
A little dabble in European as well, didn't you?
That was an experience. Yeah.
Sure.
So what was your first? What was your first driving job? Do you remember that?
Yes, it was a company called Politan Transport. I had an 1835 Powerliner. Old Hitler's Revenge.
Power inverted commas.
Powerless liner. Steering the size of a dustbin lid. Honest to God, like two turns from lock to lock. It was huge. It filled most of the cab.
Was this a sleeper cab as well? Was it?
It was a sleeper cab. Yeah. And to be fair, we've seen him at Gaydon, and you look, and the cabs were tiny.
Yeah.
But we, you didn't know any. I mean, there was. At that time, I think, that would have been 1998. So I think you probably got a few. You had these Scanias with it. Do you remember the Hatcher cab extensions? Cab pods on them.
A little bit taller, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe, when did the Roadhouse Mans come out? That was a bit later, wasn't it? Was that 2000?
No, the MAN, well, F90 Roadhouse was out in the early 90s, but they were very unusual in this country.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is cab-wise, a big cab was quite unusual, and these Mercs was a bit tiny when I see them now, compare trucks from the 90s to what we drive now.
Yeah, but most people had flat roof stuff, didn't they? People didn't really have, you could have a Globetrotter or a Topline, most people tended to stick with the flat roofs for some reason. I guess just down to cost more than anything, I suppose.
Yeah, there was...
I wonder if it was because most things back then were moved on flatbeds.
There was a lot of tilts about then, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's true.
Because you did have the Mercedes Euro cab, but again, it was just that was a cab that never.
Was it 1844? Yeah.
But then hardly anybody in the UK had them, did they? Huge, great cab, because we had one where I used to work on an N-Reg, I think it was. But again, very unusual. So
they done a V8 as well, did they? As well, Mercedes?
Yes.
They done a V8,
didn't they? Oh, God, yeah. They did Was it a 540 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
I can't remember, yeah.
But 1850, it was a 500, wasn't it?
Friend of the podcast, Dominic Newby, when he listens to this, he will message me straight away.
Of course he will.
Hopefully with all variations of said Mercedes.
And is he the guy from down Newhaven way?
Yes, he is, yeah.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, so he is the Mercedes oracle. He will know.
I mean, to be fair, right, they weren't the best pullers, but they was reliable, wasn't
they? Oh, yeah.
Forever, didn't they?
That's why my old boss had loads of them, because they just went on and on and on.
Did it have mirror cam? Oh, no, we can use that.
Jesus Christ, you didn't even have heated mirrors.
And if I remember right, you only had one as well. You didn't have a wide angle at the bottom on the top, did you?
No.
Who needs that?
On the driver's side.
Where you were going.
Yeah.
Not where you've been.
that's in the past. We're not interested in the future.
Anyway, you're not going to need that for looking at stuff to see if something's overtaking you before you pull out, are you? You're not going to be overtaken much.
I went to Milan in a 1628 Merc. Oh, when I was 14, 15, my mate Mark Jenkins. Oh, my God.
280.
But funniest, I think it was out for 3 weeks, I think. We only went to Milan and back.
to be fair, though, as a V8, they sounded well, didn't they? They sounded powerful.
Yeah.
even when you park next to one of an evening, what is all that squeaking and farting and that noise that they make when you turn them off?
They sound like a pug that's got asthma, don't they?
anyway.
Just making all the...
Sounds like
you turn it off. everything goes quiet. 20 minutes later, they just let out this grumble, don't they? Like someone's let down a balloon.
Do you think it's the air coming out of the seat? Because every Mercedes driver that you overtake, you can see their legs.
Jesus, sat on the roof, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, oh my God, look at his kneecaps. Aren't they fabulous? Hey. I said kneecaps, you filthy animal. Hey,
there's no stealth tugging going on in that.
Stealth tugging.
Where? Oh my God. Pull it back, Squeak, quick.
Not like that.
Not like that. Not
self-tugging.
Oh, God. This is supposed to be a serious podcast. That Matt, yeah. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
That was after your first job. Did you then go tramping, or have you always just done day work?
Actually, when I first started driving, so I went on the tippers. In a small cab Mercedes, and I went to an even smaller cab, and I know you're going to find that hard to believe, but I went on an FL10. I love that truck.
Lovely trucks.
Honestly, no good for night out. Only truck that I've ever had. We only did maybe 2-3 nights out a year for this company, but it's the only truck I've ever had where you had to get dressed, laid on the bed. And then you get out with like your duvet tucked into your boxes and stuff like that. There was no room in them at all. That was delivering cardboard boxes, and anybody from the East Yorkshire area saw Squeaky. You'll have seen this building. If you was going from past Goole towards Leeds, Pontefract, years ago, it used to say Limpac on a big building.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do cardboard boxes out there. So I didn't really did nights away at all. I was all kind of local. It was only with the crane when I started on the ballast, crane ballast, for a well-known company with yellow cranes and yellow wagons.
Bingo.
Yeah, there we go. I started doing nights away. I want to say nights away, we would do upwards. The minimum you do would be 4 weeks away in this country. The longest I did was 13 weeks away in a low-cap Scania.
Well,
yeah. Weeks.
13 weeks.
13 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. That's 7 days a week away, isn't it? Yeah.
That's more than Transam sometimes.
How could Squeaky survive without showers for that long?
Femfresh.
Yeah.
Welcome to Fem.
It just so happens. Fresh Wipes, UK.
Some of these locations that you went to with the crane as well. And sometimes you had to drive the, there's a few stories obviously about your ballast truck you used to drive that I've driven as well. I drove in Hempstead. First time I had 100 ton, which is just amazing. With a manual box, you imagine manual 16.
Proper truck. Everybody's going to groan. Daft.
You never had a bother with it, apart from changing the gear linkage falling off through the tunnels in Birmingham, which is fixed itself.
Yeah,
because that fade wouldn't come out to you.
Well, the problem was is they just brought this new clean air thing in, and their vans couldn't go into Birmingham. Absolutely no use to me whatsoever.
No. So there you were. Which you are very capable, man. You are. I mean,
I can throw a few spanners about.
We won't talk about.
Tell us the story. Tell us what happened
with the truck.
Yeah.
So the company I used to work for. So I was kind of bilingual with this company. I would drive the truck. I would jump in the office, do stuff in the office, drive the crane, whatever. Been to Birmingham, done a delivery. When the tower cranes go out, you have to take either a fixing angle or a base section with the anchors that go in the ground. They have to get concreted in, rebarred in, everything, and then the crane goes up. They've got to go in weeks before we go with a mobile crane to put the tower crane up. So, done the delivery, coming back out, A38, middle of Birmingham. There's two or three sets of tunnels when you come through the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in the second set, which is a bit in the dip, and then you come out around a bend and went to change gear, and the gear seat was like a bloody spoon in a pudding bowl, there was nothing. So I got no gears, I couldn't do anything. So I kind of just out of the tunnel, hazard lights on, stuff's coming, tear assing around the corner, nearly went into me. Rung DAF aid, kind of said there's nothing we can do. So I always carry bits of tools, always had them for changing light bulbs. We carried airlines, you know, just stuff that you could change easily to keep yourself going. Yeah. And I happened to have in part of the socket set was a torque set. And on the DAFs, you have what we call it's called a weighted gear enhancer. So it's basically a weight, it's a pendulum weight, and it's part of the gear selector that goes inside your gearbox. It just come off and swans. So I've crawled underneath. The scariest bit is when you was laid underneath it, you could see how close traffic was getting to run into the back of you. When you, you know, cars didn't worry me so much, but you know, this was just a normal trailer. So you can imagine a truck running at the back of another truck at say 30 mile an hour, it's going to shunt it down the road, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I was trying to get this on, and it's kind of on a spline, and it'll only go one way, so you can only get the right gears. But I spent 20 minutes, got it all back together, got away, and then Daff, the cheeky bar stewards, sent a bill a week later for a call out that they never attended.
No way.
Oh, Pete White would be all over that now, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
We was kind of old school. Like, and I get it now, companies won't let you change your bulb, and because for obvious reasons people have done stuff and they've burnt lorries out and all that kind of stuff. But we was quite old school. We was kind of, you know, just if you can keep it going and we'll get it sorted when you get back.
Do you think that that's perhaps now, obviously, excuse me, looking back at like the earlier days, things were physically mechanical, wasn't they? You know what I mean?
This episode of Matt's Trucking Great Podcast is proudly brought to you by Go Fetch with Fly Pets. If you need animal transport, whether it be UK, Europe or the rest of the world, give Go Fetch a call. Whether it be a cat, a dog, a rabbit, a hamster, a guinea pig, a bird, you name it, they can move it, no matter where it needs to go in the world. So check out the website for GoFetch or Fly Pets.
This might be a little controversial, but do you not think that as a driver you should be able to change your bulb?
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that sort of level. I'm talking about, like, you know, changing a tyre at the side of the road or changing a wheel at the side of the road and putting a spare on your trailer or, you know, crimping.
Yeah. You ask an owner driver, though. An owner driver would do it without even thinking twice because he knows what the cost is.
Having said that, Mason, who's been on, who's got full R&M, doesn't even change a bulb in his truck. Daff do his on his contract agreement. So, and I think a lot of it is it's got a lot harder to do just because, I mean, like with the older DAFs I drove, one hand I could get the headlight bulb out and change it without even lifting the grill, just knew how to do it with a knack of it. But you just can't do that now. You've now got to start taking panels off. And again, if you start scratching paint, it's a contract motor and all things like that. So
I get that. There is.
Upside down, putting the bulb in upside down as well, which you find quite a lot, don't you, people do?
And I don't know whether it will then chuck up a fault code on the dashboard because it's maybe a pattern bulb or something ridiculous, just because there's so much more electronics in a truck.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a manufacturer thing as well. I think they created that to stop people doing that.
To make more money.
What is it you always used to say, Daz, about a car manual used to say?
The engine manual used to tell you how to adjust the valves. Now they tell you not to drink the battery acid. You know,
wise advice.
but this is the thing.
It's come from somewhere.
Whenever you get a warning like that, it's because somebody somewhere has done it.
So and then sued the car company as well, haven't they? You didn't tell me not to do it.
I've also been privy to you a few live videos that we've done when you've been on private road and stuff, and where you're taking the ballast or even the crane itself to these...
Right, just be careful, Adrian. Don't be liable on me.
No, I wouldn't. Sorry. Of course I wouldn't. But I remember one particular one where you was actually driving the ballast truck and you was going, I don't know, it could be one in one or one in 50. I don't know which is the steepest. I know I should do. But you said it was in the middle of Scotland somewhere, I think, and you was going up this hill. You was in the granny box. Brilliant, mate. You was down in the scratch.
Oh, I got no. This is the thing. I was in. It was called Tilly Shilling Wind Farm, and it was on the borders, Scotland, like Carlisle area. And basically, I looked at the hill and thought, there's no point. It was first gear, diff locks, cross locks, low range, everything. Yeah. And I just set off at the bottom. Now, you can talk to drivers and you hear all the stories, pulled up windy hill, 56 mile an hour. It's daydreaming sometimes. But this thing, when you're pulling 100 ton up this thing, an old boy once told me, he said, you're getting no fuel economy, you're getting no, don't worry about your rev count. Keep it on the edge of the yellow. And there's a reason for that. You're keeping all your water flowing, you're keeping all your oil flowing. There's no point keeping your revs low because when they start to die, you've got nothing left. If you've gone at your full rev range, not to the red, to the middle of the yellow, if it dies after that, you had no more left anyway. So that's how I drove them trucks. And I never had no bother with them. But, that pulled up that hill for probably 25 minutes like that.
And when you got to the top, you wanted to need to speak to the site agent. He said, turn the engine off. And you sort of told him, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, everything. Anything's pinging and cracking. The heat.
Fantastic. It was a fantastic thing for me to witness as well.
Yeah, I think there was a video kicking about that one. I did a video.
Yeah, you did a video for it, mate. Yeah, I remember it vividly. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
25 minutes pulling up a mountain.
And I think I said, no balls if you go for a half a gear. Just a little split.
Wasn't even going to try it.
I wonder if we can find that video and can we put it on the socials?
Maybe, yeah. I can find it. I know exactly where it is. when I started with in the heavy haulage game, which is, it's a little bit different to your general,
it's a lot different, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And I asked a lot of questions, and you all say there's no such thing as a stupid question. And one piece of information an old boy once give me is, if you're not sure, going up or downhill, select your lowest gear.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that, can you? You can't, you might be slow getting up, getting down. Once you've done it,
All your brakes are intact and you're ready to go again.
So through watching a YouTube video, I didn't realise, and I've been driving trucks for years, what the different colours meant on your rev counter.
Oh, go on then. I'm going to fact check this as well.
So your yellow on your rev counter is your maximum for your retarder, your engine brake.
Wow. But with these new Volvo digital dashes, we don't have that then.
Again, I don't drive modern trucks, but at the time, the DAFs, your yellow range was your most effective range for your retarder.
Yeah. I remember being on the Volvo, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
With your digital dash, do you not have an option to put that band on there?
No. This is Sainsbury's spec, mate.
Does it not do it automatically for you then?
No, I can't even, because that's the air horn you wired in. I can't lower the steering wheel at the moment to show you, but it's different. But I do remember the actual analog ones having, especially on my dad's Volvo, the different colours, the different power bands. The blue was the best for the engine brake to come in. Rev was red,
green was economy. So most trucks, I think the maximum torque comes in around about 1,250 RPM. That's your maximum torque. That's the maximum power you're ever going to get out.
This is much lower on this Volvo.
Yeah, yes. Obviously, this is more modern engines. And this is, I got a couple of negative comments on the video that I put going up this mountain. But we're not interested in maximum torque. We're interested in, like, this thing going to be pulling like this for the next 25 minutes.
Yeah, you want to keep all your levels right.
It was an XF 530, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Was it a 6x4?
Double track. I had to put this for grip alone, traction. I had to put the diff locks and the cross locks in. So I'd got all four sets of wheels driving at the back.
I remember the noise. I could almost smell the video. It's such a cool thing to watch.
Yeah.
So anyway, have you ever lifted anything that's famous that people will know that you've put somewhere?
Other than Jim's wallet.
That's like my front room, mate. There's nothing.
So I've done some artwork outside the London Eye, I don't know if everybody ever remembers, there was a Vauxhall Corsa upside down, but I keep it like a ripped tarmac up.
Yeah.
I've lifted that, put that in. I've done stuff around the deck on the Saturday Night Takeaway.
Wow.
The ITV studios.
That's cool. Yeah.
Hey, Daz, I've got a question for you.
Go on, Squeaky.
Like with lifting stuff, like I'm on and off building sites all the time with the tower cranes. Mm-hmm. I've seen one thing be dropped. What have you ever dropped anything?
Don't be so stupid. I'm a professional.
Do you think we'll get away with that? Was that smooth?
That was super smooth. That was. Yeah.
So yes, not personally. It wasn't my fault. This was 18 months ago. I dropped a control room for. Industrial heat source pump in Seaham. When I say I dropped, I was in the crane, picked this unit up, lifted it off a trailer, put it in position, picked it up so they could adjust it. Unbeknown to the people that was controlling the lift, the straps he was using had got damaged, and I dropped, I think it was 19 ton, about 2 meters. To the floor.
Did that send a shockwave through the crane?
Well, it woke me up.
Got you out of your seat.
Fucking. Yeah, first thing I knew was when he pointed at me in the face.
And then there was obviously. What was the immediate thing? Did everybody sort of scatter and they nothing to do with me? Or
do you know what? It was odd. So at the time when it dropped out, they'd stopped all lifting operations. So I wasn't actually, I didn't have my hands on the controls. I think I've got my hands got kind of behind my head and just, I don't know, daydreaming, whatever. And then it went and the whole crane rocked. So it can get really boring to explain this, but I had like 100 ton, nearly 100 ton of ballast on the crane. Can't wait. Now we should nearly right back up quite close in. The first thing I remember seeing when it dropped was the, back left-hand rigger come up in the air and then landed. Now, yeah, so I've got nearly 100 ton of ballast. The crane weighs nearly 100 tons. You have 200 ton now. This is kind of bunny hopped a little bit. That's not good. The initial concern was I knew people was around load that had dropped.
Oh, yeah.
The next thing you realise is if anybody was trapped, I couldn't pick anything up because all the rigging had snapped.
Right.
So, yeah, so... Within 30 seconds, it felt a lot longer. Everybody emerged. Everybody was all right. And then, yeah, kind of everybody's fled the scene, kind of left on their own.
Yeah.
So what happens after that? What's the protocol when something like that happens?
Well, the protocol and what actually happened is two different things. Basically, realistically, everybody should be took off, should be drug and alcohol tested to make sure that everybody was in a fit state of work.
And who would do that? Who would do that? Who would do the?
The company you're on, the company you're on hire to, really.
Right.
But it's such a rare occurrence that it kind of, when it happens, everybody's like, oh, crap, what now?
Yeah.
So it's not a regular occurrence. But to be, I can't remember the name of the guy. He was a Scottish guy. It was his own company. He was nothing to do with the lift I was doing. But I kind of sat in the crane. I'm thinking, right, now what do I do? Everybody's fine. Nobody's hurt. And the guy came up to me. He said, come on, let's go get a coffee. I said, well, no, I'm all right. He said, no, come, get out. We'll go get a coffee. So we went and got a coffee. Then I started making phone calls to different people, my company that I work for, and, like, you know, kind of a lot of things have got to happen. We run the manufacturing crane.
Will the crane twist and stuff like that at this point, or...?
So you've got what they call shock loading on them now. So it's basically what will happen is the manufacturer will not allow that crane to lift anything now until they've inspected it and see it what damage has been done. Because it might not be now; it might be 6 months' time when you know fatigue. Someone might have just cracked and not broken. So it's they've got to do a full check.
Is that bigger than a Lola report? Is it?
It's, Lola's part of the regulations to do with lifting. So they will do a full inspection of the crane. They'll check for any cracks, any broken parts, the slow ring. The slow ring's the main part of, you know, because everything goes through the slow ring. It gets really kind of boring if you're not from that kind of industry. But
it's interesting, I mean, every action has a reaction, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, that 19 ton going at that end has done 200 ton.
Everybody asked me, how far did it drop? I said, well, it drops about 2 meters, but that's immaterial. It's a sudden release of weights.
Absolutely, yeah.
It does it. And it's a bit like, you know, and I don't know if this happens with the trucks, you know, but I think it should. You know, if you get somebody running to the back end of you, does anybody ever check the fifth wheels?
Can't imagine they do.
No, I wouldn't have thought
you would think that's the only bit that's connecting that trailer to the truck.
That
and the pin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Did they ever get checked?
That's where the plate's going to be in that bit.
Is this why sometimes you see a trailer on a roundabout that the pins mysteriously snaps? Has it had a crack up the backside sometime?
Maybe, yeah. With the actual thing attached in the fifth wheel itself.
You think that pin, that 2.5-inch pin, is the only thing connecting the trailer to that tractor unit?
Yeah.
It's a tiny piece, isn't it?
Sorry, Matt, go on.
I was going to say, the speed that some people hit it when they're trying to hitch up, especially at night.
here's another thing. So, another story.
I was going to bring this up.
I was coming out of Fawley one night, into the oil refinery down in Fawley. I was driving the ballast truck. The ballast truck, you are 99 ton on the ballast truck. You've got a 5-axle ballast trailer, Newty Boom, fantastic trailers. Best plant trailer out there. Crawling up the hill towards the M3, the big hill. I was on the phone, hands-free. It was all legal. And then all of a sudden, a headlight. Well, two things happened straight away. I felt a little bit of a nudge, and I saw the rev counter raise about 100 RPM, and then a headlight comes skittling past me on the road. And I'm like, oh. So I pulled up onto our shoulder, and a... What's the little Mercedes vans? Not the tiny ones, but the big ones.
Vito.
Run into the back of me at 90 miles an hour. Hit the trailer at 90 miles an hour. I'm 100 ton doing 16-ish mile an hour up the hill, the drag from out of Southampton.
Wow.
So I've pulled up. I've gone past the junction, pulled on the arch shoulder, and the guy come running up, and I thought we was going to start tussling because I didn't quite know what was going off. But he was more concerned if I was all right. When I got back to the van, the complete front end of the van was missing. There was nothing left of it. The engine was out, the gearbox was out, the headlight, I'd seen that was about 100 metres up the motorway. And he said to me, the guy said to me, God, you come off that slip road quick, did you? Mate, I said, I've been on motorway from the beginning. I mean, they were so lucky because I've seen far less damaged vehicles and people have not survived. This seems just total.
testament to Mercedes Vito.
Yeah, but my point being is, you know, like when you feel stuff, but I didn't feel a lot at all. Just a little nudge, you know.
Wow.
You wouldn't do, no.
Talking of mishaps, I think you know where this is going to lead. talking of mishaps, can you tell us the story of the caravan? I think the listeners will love this. This is a funny story.
Oh, God. So this is going back to my FL 10 days. So I'm not going to name the company. So, yeah, the trailers, he had some of the earliest curtain-sided trailers in the country, so there was no ABS on them. And when it rained, there was tandem axle trailers. The only way you could drive it was to disconnect the L line. You couldn't, there's just no way. The trailer just used a jackknife all the time. But it was springtime. I was coming back from, I think, Middlesbrough. And I come the back way, down the A19, York, 64, A19, going back towards Selby. And the junction's changed now, but Crocky Hill was just a junction. It's got traffic lights there now. And I don't know how I managed to, but it had rained. Like proper spring shower, bounced it down, the roads wet through, but the sun was out now, it's all bright and sunny. And well, this car in front of me, I was probably 50-ish metres behind it. I don't know how I managed to stop and indicate at the same time. I've hit the brakes, and anybody that remembers driving them old trails, you know when you're in trouble, when you stop bouncing, everything's gone smooth behind you. So everything's gone smooth, and everything happened in slow motion. So the car stopped in front of me and indicated, I've braked, the trail's locked up, and of course it's going into the middle of the road. It's not going to go the other way. And there's a car and a caravan coming the other way. Now he can see what's happening, but he's decided he's not going to slow down and let the car turn in front of him. So I was in no way in control of anything what happened. It was this physics that took control of this. But anyway, the car and the caravan passed. The car in front, so I was kind of still catching him quite quick. He got out of the way. But my trailer didn't straighten up in time, and it just split the back gutter rail of the caravan. Now, when I say it exploded, I've never said explode anything so fast in my life. It just exploded. And I saw, like, pots, pans, bras and knickers, portable toilet just fucking spread all over. And I'm like, oh, God. And it suddenly I realised that the trailer had no sign writing on, and I'd lost my number plate. So I thought,
oh,
screw this. Just dropped two gears.
You banged into lower and went.
Nothing was coming behind me because there was a caravan spread all over the road. Nothing was catching me. And I just did one. Not my proudest moment. I got back to the depot and I told the guy who's working for me, he went absolutely ballistic. He absolutely flipped his lid. But then 2 minutes later, he came and went, well, we've heard nothing, you got away with that. I was laughing.
Imagine these days with dash cams and this would be done.
I've never seen anything.
Sorry, mate. Can you remember what year that was?
Don't say that because people might say
that was my caravan.
I can. Yeah, it was 1999.
No. So if anybody was travelling on the A63 or A19 in 1999, please get in contact with the podcast.
Well, there was a video similar a few years back. Do you remember that? It was down Glastonbury Way, and it was one of Nolan's, and his car and caravan came through a set of lights. He clearly forgot he had the caravan on, so it went from two lanes into one and just ploughs into the side of this daff, and just, again, this caravan just explodes everywhere. Just so,
it's like the spring-loaded, isn't it? I don't know how they explode quick. It just, everything just... Was it 10 foot in the air?
I was double manning with Paris. I see the aftermath of a Renault Magnum going through one. A collapsible kettle.
Oh, do you remember the collapsible water bottles you used to get? I remember one of them, like a container.
Squeaky's got half a dozen.
Yeah. Anyway, I look at it like it's one less on the road. That's how I look at it.
He's got a motorhome now. Dirty pig.
Dirty pig. How dare you?
This one thing I'd like to add, I know they're being a bit silly, but you are quite a professional, though, aren't you, in the transport industry? Because you are a holder of the manager's CPC. And you are our guru at any working time in anything. We go to you.
But ChatGPT. You can find it all out now. Okay?
We've got a dazzle, mate. It's fine.
Early on in my 7.5-ton days, yes, the company I worked for, they put me through my 1998 I did my manager's CPC. And I've kept up to date. And I do try and keep on top of all the change, even though I don't drive trucks anymore.
You're a clever bloke with the spanners and electrical stuff. I mean, how many times have you helped me out with different kinds of air horns and lights being fitted I promise you, at retro this year, you got a year
every
off,
year.
Mate.
You know, you say that every year. You say this every
you've
year.
You got a year off, mate.
I get me out, so I never. I always set my tools because I know it's going to change. But
excuse me. When Jim says you've got a year off, it means you've got a year off from working on his truck. I have a Turkish whistle that needs fitting.
I actually hate Turkish whistles.
I will feed you all the beer that you need. Don't worry about that.
I've got this one now anyway.
Oh, I can remember last time at Gaydon, you fed my beer with white wine.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
That was brilliant. That was dead good. So, for the listeners' sake, because we're both from Yorkshire, we were putting this little show comedy thing on where we were stood outside the bar, and as we're surrounded by friends and all that, and we're both talking like we're both from Yorkshire, and they're having a, they're saying, "No, lad, they need gravy on that chips, lad," you know, and we're having this comedy sketch going on. And I drink white wine, and I'm trying to get Daz to try my white wine. He stood there as a proper bloke's bloke, as we know, and his fucking spanners covered in oil and grease. pint in his hand, you know. And he will not try this white wine for love nor money. And I'm going, "No, lad, that just needs to try this white wine. It's really nice, you know." That he's going, "They're not get that past my lips. They're not trying that crap." And I just in this spare of the moment thing, I just thought, it. And I just poured my white wine into his pint.
Yeah.
I thought, Daz is a big bloke, right? And I thought, this is going to go one or two ways. I'm never going to get a flat.
But in true Yorkshire style, right? I wasn't about to waste a pint on behalf of you.
No.
So I drank it.
That's what it, lad, didn't they?
And I was still up before you eat morning.
Yeah.
Very, very starry eyed though, as you come stumbling past me after going for your morning poo.
you say poo.
Oh my god.
But a quick question, Dazzle, before we're gonna have to wrap up because we've been chatting for nearly an hour now. Do you miss driving trucks?
Yes, I do. I do miss it. Would I go back to it?
Unlikely.
I don't know, because I've been that long out of it, and you know, the general knowledge side of it. I got out of general knowledge in 2006, so I've been out of general knowledge a long, long time.
20 years then?
Yeah, but I do miss driving the trucks. I love the abnormal heavy haulage side of it. That was different. It became so much of a tow with the embargoes and you know, waiting and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I do miss driving the trucks. My licenses are all relevant. I've still got my CPCs. I've kept everything relevant. I could go back to driving if I had to do. But I do miss it, yeah.
The embargo stuff, that wasn't a thing when I was working. I won't say the name of the company because I don't like them.
It was all the thing. It wasn't rigorously enforced as it is now.
Yeah, embargo wasn't a thing for me when I was doing abnormal. It was, you was on movement orders and escorts.
you was abnormal to do with like length and width. We was weight.
Yeah.
So was it a case of the company that you work for that I shan't name, but I know who they are, just didn't tell you?
There was loads of that going on.
There was
the odd occasion. In fact, I know that we're going to wrap this up, but and it's not about me, it's about Daz, but I'll say it anyway, because why not? But I remember this one occasion, I'd come back down from Motherwell with steel plate on. I was running wide. I was on a movement order. It was dark, so I had all my marker boards on, my lights on, blah, 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 blah. I was heading for the Humber Sea Terminal, and I got to the 180, and it was closed. Now, if you're on a movement order, that 180 isn't allowed to be closed because they know that we're coming through between these hours and that or whatever, you know.
It's just got A18, Kibby Bridge. You're laughing.
Yeah, well, they took me through Ulsterby. So I pulled over at this closure, phoned Highways, said, "What's the crack here? I'm on a movement order." They said, "Well, we've got no movement order in place here." I said, "It's in my hand. I've got it here." They said, "No, we'll contact the police and we'll get them out to you." So the old Bill turned up with a couple of police cars and a motorbike and all that. This is about 8, 9 o'clock at night or whatever. And he just said, "How fast can you go?" I said, 56. He said, "You keep it at that and we'll do the rest." And that was it. They took me off. They took me past the airport and then took me through Ulsterby over a weight limit bridge, all twos and blues going, the full shebang. And just fired me straight through Ulsterby, out at the Ulsterby truck stop there, through the dual carriageway, the oil refineries, and up to the Humber Sea Terminal. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He had his mirror sunglasses on there, and then his arm on the window.
Absolutely.
And you know, it kills me and pains me. I don't have any pictures of that, not one picture. And yet when we got to the Humber Sea Terminal, all the bobbies put the cars and the bikes in front of the trailer, and they were taking pictures and this and that. So, and I never got any of it.
You shall let me speak about this.
I do have one question though, Des. How many Scanies have you driven?
That I like?
How many next gen Scanias have you driven?
I'm not a Scania man. So next year, is that the one that you had? Yes.
Yeah. How many have you driven?
One.
And how did that go?
I was pissed.
but it was on private road.
Yeah. Let's just put that out there. Yeah.
It was. That was one of the most funniest experiences
in my life. I have had four Scanias, and I wouldn't thank you for any one of them back.
Oh, you're going to upset a few people. The VA.
That's true. Well, actually, I tell a lie. The 3 Series. That's the only Scania I ever liked.
Yeah.
The rest of them wouldn't care. Don't care.
Okay. Right, I'm good. That's good. That'll do for me.
All right, I think we're going to wrap this up. I think this is something that we could potentially come back to and do part two, Matt. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've barely scratched the surface here of Dazzle and what he's been up to. I know, speaking before we even started, there's an awful lot more stories, isn't there? So it's just a case of...
Yeah, we maybe can't broadcast all of them.
No, not all of them, but some I'm sure we can. And also, we need Squeaky to make a list of questions for Jim to jump in, even though he doesn't know what they are, and ruin Squeaky's evening.
What are the chances of that,
I know. It's the same every week.
Jim, we do think alike, though.
Jimton Baptiste over there, I think.
Yeah.
I'm getting the word.
No, not now. No. I think on that note.
Anyway, it's been a blast, actually. I've enjoyed this. I hope everybody else enjoys it. Screw you.
It's a bit, yeah.
So.
Say it from Yorkshire without saying you're from Yorkshire.
Fuck you, mate.
It's like that in the Yorkshire Airlines, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, up.
Love.
Takes off in Yorkshire, lands in Yorkshire.
Captain Jeffrey Boycott.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Brilliant. And we will come back and visit this, and we'll do a part two at some point.
Yeah.
I also just want to again thank Fresh Wipes for the package of wipes that they've sent us. We will put that out over the socials at some point, so just keep your eyes peeled. Also, just another little plug, just to remind everybody that obviously the podcast does cost money to run, and none of us do take anything from it. We solely rely on essentially donations to make it run, as well as sponsorships. So if anybody can help towards that, it would be much appreciated. You can head over to Matt Island. Oh, I've lost it now. Matt Island.
Buy me a coffee.com.
Buy me a coffee.
/.
Matt Island.
Patreon.com/Matt's Trucking Great Podcast.
Or if you are a company or you are a business and you want to help out a little bit and get a little bit of promotion work from us as well, feel free to hit us up on any of the social medias. We'll make sure that somebody picks that up and gets back to you as quick as we can. So I'll hand over to Matt. And thanks, Daz. Thanks, Jim. Been an absolute pleasure.
No problem. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you, gents. I don't think there's anything else that I need to add to that. It's been a blast. And yes, we should definitely have to do it again.
Cheers. I'll see you there.
Fantastic.
I'll see you there.
And with that, goodbye.